My name is Chris. I get to serve as the lead pastor here, and I'm honored to do so. And in just over 24 hours, there will be hundreds of students gathered on our campus to be a part of VBX. Students are going to learn about who God is, even in the midst of the storms of life. So I thought it appropriate today that we take just a step away from the book of Acts for a moment this morning in our series to be continued, to talk about the storms we can face in life and how we can remember who God is and what He has said to us. Would you grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Mark's Gospel, Matthew, Mark in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in just a moment in verse 35, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. These are good reminders for us as adults as well. So let me set this up for you. In the context of Mark 4, Jesus and the disciples, as they often were, had been surrounded by crowds. In fact, if you study Jesus' ministry on earth, you know that often He was surrounded by people. Word would spread of what He'd done. People would come running. People would come from all sorts of places because they wanted Jesus to touch their lives. They wanted Jesus to heal them or set them free. So in this context, in Mark 4, Jesus has already taught and healed and delivered many people. But we know early on in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 1, verse 38 especially, that Jesus had a heart to not just share the gospel in one place, but Jesus had a heart that the good news would go to all the places. Obviously, we know in our study in the book of Acts, He promised power to be witnesses in Jerusalem or at home, in Judea and Samaria, further out into the regions and to the ends of the earth. Well, Jesus in His earthly ministry continued to make trips and continued to put many miles on His feet to take the gospel, the good news, to other towns and to set people free. Now, you could imagine if you've been surrounded by crowds moment after moment after moment, that there comes a point where you become exhausted from all the interactions. If you are an extrovert, maybe not so much. If you're an introvert, you're really exhausted, right? After you've interacted with a lot of people. Let's pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm, some translations read a fierce squall, came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still," or "Peace, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then Jesus asked the disciples, He asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey Him." Now, if you've been surrounded by crowds all day long, then you can imagine when the disciples got on the boat, they kind of let out a big exhale in relief. They were excited to kind of get away for a few minutes and take a break. And that's okay. We've all been there before, right? We've all had moments where we just need a moment to breathe. But Scripture says that the break didn't last long. Soon, a fierce storm came up. Now, this lake, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee, was known for storms. The sea was surrounded by mountainous regions, and so often the wind would come in and it would kind of get trapped between those mountainous regions. So there was a knowledge that there would be storms. The question was, when was it going to happen? This storm, Scripture says, came up all of a sudden, and it was a fierce storm or a furious squall. This wasn't just a little gust of wind. This wasn't just a little rain. as much as we've had rain lately here in Minnesota, and as much as at moments there's been a downpour and maybe even thunder or lightning, this was much worse than what you have seen recently. Think of a whirlwind or even a hurricane with a torrential downpour. And as you can imagine, being on a body of water in a boat, and we're not talking about a $100,000 bass tracker here. We're not talking about your latest lake houseboat. But being on this boat, you can imagine the wind and the storm being this fierce that the waves around the boat would certainly be tossing that boat side to side. I'll be honest with you. I have a little bit of a motion sickness kind of thing anyway. I don't prefer to ride in the back seat of a car. Don't be offended if I've ever ridden with you and don't prefer the back seat. I actually prefer to drive when our family is traveling. I have some kind of equilibrium thing. I don't really like roller coasters, to be honest with you, because when I get off of them, my legs are kind of like jello or feel very wobbly under me. It's just the nature of it. I don't know if I've hit my head too many times. I don't know what's going on. But I have some kind of equilibrium thing. So for me, all I can see myself doing in this moment is leaning over the edge of the boat, puking my guts out. I would be seasick. More than that, I'd be concerned for my life. Because at this point, I'm in the middle of this water, the storm is hitting, the boat is being tossed, and I don't have anything to grab onto. I don't have anything that I can do to control what's happening around me. Scripture says high waves were breaking into the boat. It's enough to be tossed from side to side, but now the water's coming into the boat. And last time I checked, water in the boat is not a good thing, right? Get the picture of the boat maybe even going down as the waves crash in and overwhelm them. Meanwhile, in the middle of all of this, Scripture gives us an interesting detail that Jesus was at the back of the boat sleeping on a cushion. First of all, we have to remember, and this is sometimes hard for us to understand, that Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And so in this moment, we also see his humanity. Jesus having poured out and given so much to so many people. And yet prior to this, the disciples had also been witnesses of his deity, that his power and authority were greater than all people and all things and all sicknesses and all diseases and even demonic powers. So they were getting ready to see that deity on display again. But Jesus was in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now, on a practical sense, if I'm in a boat with you and the water is crashing in the boat, I'm hoping you're going to help me do something about what's going on. Notice the reaction of the disciples. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Now, I don't know what picture you get, but I get a picture of the disciples trying to scoop water out of the boat, and the boat is sinking and overwhelmed by all of these waves. And, "Hey, Jesus, we could use a hand here. Do you care? You're back here sleeping on the cushion. Can you help us?" And in some ways, context tells us that they were really asking more about their worries and him helping them in a practical sense, more than they were realizing that the authority over the storm was already in the boat with them. Now, they did the right thing to go to Jesus. If you face a tough moment, the right thing to do is to continue to run to Jesus, not to run away from him. But context tells us they were more focused on getting the water out and dealing with the worries of this storm than they were, again, realizing the authority over the storm was already in the boat. But in their minds, Jesus wasn't doing anything. He was in the boat with them, but he wasn't as active as the disciples wanted him to be, not as quick to act as the disciples wanted him to act. So what does Jesus do? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence," or "Peace, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Jesus did, in fact, respond to the need of the disciples. Jesus did, in fact, in that moment, prove his authority over all of nature yet again. It would have been amazing in some ways. I'm not asking to be on a boat in the middle of a storm, but it would have been somewhat amazing to see this storm disappear as quickly as it had come on. Can you imagine that? being in the middle of that, and all of a sudden, at just the word of Jesus, everything changed. It was so amazing, in fact, that in verse 41 of Mark 4, the disciples would say, "Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him." There was a realization and yet an awe and yet maybe even a fear of who is this? Because even the wind and the waves are submitting to him. But the real question of Jesus is the question that we can remind ourselves of in the middle of the storms today as well. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Notice he didn't say, "Why do you only have a little faith?" He said, why do you still have no faith? These disciples, remember, have been pressed in by the crowds. Jesus has done many things already to change people's lives. They'd seen Jesus in action. They had experienced and heard Jesus' teaching. And it's as if in this moment, Jesus was saying to them, "You were afraid of the storm, but even more, shouldn't you have faith in the one who can stop the storm? Don't you realize who I am? Why? Why is the storm scare you when I am with you? You wanted me to get up and worry or even help scoop out the water rather than just believing in me, rather than just realizing it's all okay because I'm on the boat with you. Why did you get so upset to not think that I care about you just because I didn't respond in the way or in the speed in which you thought I should?" It's interesting to note that the very next verse in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, says that they arrived at the other side of the lake. Even though they had to go through the storm, they were able to sail from one side of the lake to the other. I want you to hold on to that for a moment. What parallels can we take away from this beautiful narrative of Scripture for our lives? Number one, if you're taking notes today, storms are a part of life. Someone once said, "You're either in a storm, getting ready to go into a storm, or coming out of a storm in your life." That sounds kind of glass half empty, but it also just sounds like reality. We deal with storms. We all face the storms of life. We all deal with things that happen from the outside more to us. We're not talking about the consequences of our own actions, the consequences of our own sins. We're dealing more in storms of life with spiritual attacks and living in a fallen world and navigating some of the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations of this life. And sometimes those storms that we face, much like the storm that the disciples faced on the Sea of Galilee, they can be really furious, full of wind, full of waves, full of rains, seemingly potential catastrophe in our lives. And sometimes, how many of you would agree, it's not just one thing, but it seems like the storms come one after the other, after the other, after the other. It's like they come in a cluster. For example, someone could get sick. Sickness not only limits them physically, but then they have to maybe go into the hospital. And being in the hospital yields hospital bills and financial crisis in their family. Sometimes it can be a string of things that happen that maybe in and of themselves wouldn't even seem connected. And yet in that moment in life, it feels overwhelming. They take us by surprise sometimes too. We don't always know things are coming until they hit us. And sometimes we can feel, as Scripture says, swamped. That the storms of life are breaking into the boat, that we're being overwhelmed. It's filling with water. The storms of life at times can seemingly cap us out or max out our capacity, that we can deal with so much at one time that it's more than we can handle. Number two today, even though we face storms, we need to remember that the storms of life do not nullify Jesus' promises. I want you to notice that in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, before the trip, before the storm even took place, Jesus said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." in our immediate storms and seasons, maybe you're in the middle of some of this right now in your life, Jesus has said, you will come out on the other side. You are going to go to the other side. This is not a season or a storm that's going to last forever. I was amazed yesterday. I got up and I decided, you know what? I really better mow the lawn really quickly, because if I don't, I don't know when it's going to happen. Because this week, every night of Monday through Thursday is VBX. Plus, it's been raining so much. If I don't get this done, it's going to be knee high. We're going to have a problem. So I mowed, and about the time I finished, it started pouring rain. But I was reminded later in the afternoon that storms don't last forever. As the sun came back out and began to shine on our neighborhood again, Jesus has said that whatever we're in the midst of now won't last forever. I love that the psalmist says, not yea, though I sit in the valley of the shadow of death, but he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That there is a going through this. And even in the grand scheme of eternity, even though life, we live in a fallen world, even though in life we deal with a lot of storms and struggles and trials and tribulations, in the grand scheme of eternity, Jesus has promised us that we will go over to the other side. That after this life, there is an eternity, a forever with Him. And Scripture even goes further than that, to say that God is faithful to keep us from stumbling, to keep us from failing, and to bring us safely through the storms of life. It's in the middle of the storm that we can often forget what Jesus has said. It's in the middle of the storm that the disciples forgot what they'd seen and what they'd experienced, and they'd forgotten what all they'd heard. Instead, when we read of the disciples in the midst of this storm, they grew fearful and anxious and alarmed and even doubtful. They sought perhaps their own solutions, trying to get the water out of the boat as it was breaking in, rather than relying or putting faith in the one who had the authority. I've noticed in life that tough times can seem to have these kinds of effects on all of us. Storms can seemingly cause us to lapse into a form of amnesia, as if we have totally forgotten what has happened in the past in our lives. Because I bet every one of us today could tell the time when we were in a tough moment and we were able to come through that because of God's help. But when we hit another storm, it's like we forget all that God has already done, all the ways that God has proven His faithfulness. The waves of the storm seem to drown out the truth and the promises of God's word in our lives, that He's with us all of our days, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. If we're not careful, storms in life can cause us to have fear instead of faith, to worry instead of taking it to the Lord and trusting Him. Storms can seem to propel us to revert to our own answers, our own power, our own ability, our own way of doing things, rather than depending on the source. How many times have you found yourself in the middle of a life storm and you have played out all of the what-if scenarios in your mind and you've tried to come up with a solution on your own? We've all been there. In the midst of the storms, that's what can happen. We can seem to worry and be anxious rather than taking God at His word, believing in His promises that He cares for us. And because He cares for us, we can cast our cares on Him. I remember the story of a seminary student who once preached from this text in Mark chapter 4. And he told her the story of standing up in seminary and preaching. He said, I did so well with this passage. I broke this entire storm at sea story into three parts. I had the high winds and the adversities of life that can arise suddenly. I talked about desperate voices and the panic that we can feel in the storm. And the student went on to say, I even talked about an unexpected word, how Jesus speaks to the circumstances peace, and even gave a word of rebuke to the disciples for their lack of faith. In telling the story, he said, "As I was preaching this in seminary, I finished and I was filled with pride. I thought I'd preached a masterpiece and maybe even made a few listeners seasick at the description of how the boat was tossed from side to side. All of that ended when the New Testament professor walked over and kindly said to the student, "That's always been a favorite passage of mine. Have you noticed that perhaps the reason Jesus accused them of no faith was that at the beginning he had said, 'Let us go over to the other side.' In the middle of the storm, the disciples forgot Jesus' word. When we forget the word of Jesus," listen closely, "when we forget the word of Jesus, we will always be afraid." The seminary student went on to say, in his gracious way, "This New Testament professor had told me that I had preached for 25 minutes and missed the main point. You will always be afraid when you forget the promise, the word of Jesus." At least the disciples might have had some faith, but Jesus said they had no faith. They weren't able to transpose Jesus' past acts into a faith that trusted him to deal with this new emergency. Isn't this just like us? The Lord brings us through one trial, and when we hit the next one, we panic all over again. We fail to transfer the lesson that if he hadn't abandoned us in the past, he won't leave us now. We need to remember that the storms of life do not nullify Jesus' promises. Thirdly, we need to remember that Jesus is not shaken by the storms we face. His authority isn't in question. His power hasn't changed. He's rock solid. You can lean on him and he will always hold you up. We could quote many of the Psalms today that reiterate these facts, but Psalm 37, 39 in reading this week says, "The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble." What do you do in the storm? You run to Jesus. How do you manage? How do you deal? How do you face? How do you navigate all of this when it's coming at you? You run to Jesus. Why? Because you might feel shaken. You might feel unnerved. You might feel alarmed. You might feel anxious, but you can run to the one who is not shaken at all. He is strong. He is sturdy. He is steadfast. He will hold you up in the midst of the worst things you could face. It reminds us that next, Jesus is with us in the storms. What I find is, again, that as storms are happening, when it doesn't seem they're letting up, we can tend to forget Jesus' promise that he's with us. Maybe your struggle today in the storms that you're facing is wondering, where is Jesus in this? Why hasn't he acted yet? Why hasn't he done what I thought he should do? Jesus was not as active as the disciples wanted him to be. And we get this picture, at least I do, I get this picture of the disciples trying to figure it out, even maybe trying to bail some water out of the boat. And here's Jesus on the back of the boat sleeping on a cushion. They interpreted Jesus' seeming inactivity as no activity and no care for them. Why did they run to Jesus and say, "Hey, don't you even care? Aren't you going to do something? Because if you'll do something, it'll prove to us that you care. Aren't you going to act in this?" And sometimes in the middle of the storms of life, we have to be careful ourselves because we can get frustrated if it feels like God's not doing anything. Be honest today, church. We've all had moments where we felt like God was silent. We've all had moments where we felt like it wasn't changing. Nothing was happening. We can get really frustrated if we feel like Jesus isn't active on our behalf. We can get frustrated if we feel like Jesus doesn't act quick enough. We can get frustrated if we feel like Jesus doesn't respond the way we think he should. I want to remind you today that the disciples found out that Jesus was with them on the shore, and he sat with them on the mountainside, and he ate with them in homes. And just as Jesus was found in all of those places to be with them, he could be found with them even in the midst of the storm. It's the same Jesus who meets with you here in this sanctuary. It's the same Jesus who is with you in your devotional time. It's the same Jesus that you sent so close and so near in those mountaintop experiences of life. He's the same Jesus that can be found with you in the lowest and darkest valleys or in the middle of the greatest storms you might face. Do not let a lack of visibility affect Jesus' credibility in your life. I don't see it. When's he going to work? When's it going to change? Jesus is with you in the midst of this storm, and you may be going through it much like the disciples, so that your faith has opportunity to grow. So that your belief in Jesus has an opportunity to grow. I've noticed that we can have a few of the cliche sayings in the church world. Anybody else ever notice that? We got a few things that we'll say. Sometimes they're not actually in Scripture. Right? So sometimes we say things as if they are, but they're really not in Scripture. But one of the things that we can say sometimes, and I know the heart behind it, so this is not a criticism to anyone who's ever said this, and I think I completely understand the heart behind it, but sometimes we can imply that the hardest storms we face are only given to the strongest people. That somehow God already knows how strong we are, so we get the harder test because he knows we can stand. Can I just tell you today, I just, if I may, kind of flip that script just a little bit for us. I don't think the storms of life show us how strong we are. I think the storms of life show us how strong we're not and how much we really need to lean on Jesus. How much we really can't figure it out. How much we really don't have all the answers. How much we really don't have all the strength in ourselves. There's something so special when we come to that place in our lives, and I think the storms in our lives can actually help produce this kind of work in us. When we come to that place in our lives where we recognize, I'm not even sure I've got the strength to keep holding on to the end of the rope. It's in those moments of humility where we realize we don't have what it takes that Jesus can prove in our lives that he always has what it takes. It's when we realize we are weak that he is strong, that his grace is sufficient, that his power is made perfect in weakness. So today, it's okay for you to say, you know what? I am dealing with some things in my life. I do feel like it's crashing in on me. And it's okay for you to say, you know what? I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know exactly how this is going to be. Or it's okay for you to say, God, I'm struggling with this. I don't know how to handle this. But in those struggles, let not your faith be in yourself. Let not your faith be in the things of the world and the answers from the world that they'll try to give you on how to navigate it all. Let your greatest belief and faith be in Jesus himself. Jesus, I'm not going to worry about this, not because it's not easy to worry. I'm not going to worry in this because you've promised to be with me. Jesus, I'm not going to try to do this on my own. Not because I couldn't make a valiant effort, but because I realized that my efforts alone are not enough. I need your help. Only you can carry me through this. I believe that these moments in life can give us opportunity to grow. The testing of our faith, Scripture says, produces in us a harvest of work that God wants to produce. That perseverance, that strength, that character, that belief in God that if he's brought us through something before, he'll bring us through today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a few moments today, in the quietness of this moment, I want you to take a few moments and look back and think back in your life to a time when God brought you through. Can you do that? I suspect some of you already have those thoughts in your mind. You know those pivotal moments, those hard moments, those storm moments when you couldn't solve it. Maybe you're in the midst of one of those moments right now and you're looking back and maybe you're not feeling like you're seeing a lot. Maybe it's because we kind of tend to forget how good God's really been and how much he's really brought us through. But maybe at least today you can say, you know what, I am in the middle of one of these, and so I've got to make a choice in this moment. Either I'm going to try to make it happen, or I'm going to try to figure it all out, or I'm going to go under all of this and be overwhelmed, or I'm going to run to the one who has promised to be with me and carry me through. You don't have to live this life on your own. That's the beauty of relationship with Jesus for me. It's not just that he saved me. That's incredible in and of itself. But it's that salvation was the beginning of a journey with Jesus, that he's with me through everything in life. When I don't understand, when I haven't got it all figured out, when I know I'm limited in myself, when I'm in the midst of things or things can be crashing, I'm so thankful that I get to journey with Jesus, the one who has greater power, greater authority, and greater even care for me than anyone else ever could. My mom used to sing. My mom passed about 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. And I remember she used to sing this song, and I watched her live it. She used to sing this old song that said, "Till the storm passes over, to the thunder sounds no more. To the clouds roll forever from the sky. He'll hold me fast. He'll let me stand in the hollow of his hand. He'll keep me safe till the storm passes by." Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you need to lean into Jesus and let him keep you in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. If you're in the room today, would you stand with me? If you're online, wherever you are today, I believe Jesus wants to work in your life as well. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come. Would you come and make yourselves available this morning? Because I suspect that there are people who are dealing with some storms in life. Maybe you feel like today you're dealing with multiple. Maybe you feel just like the disciples in some ways. They're just crashing in. And you're feeling very overwhelmed. Today there are people who will, by faith in Jesus, agree with you and pray with you, even encourage you as the Holy Spirit leads them to do so. In this moment, you can lean into Christ and find the strength and the help and the power that you need. It may be that today you need to take some time to reflect in your life, because gratitude helps us refocus, helps us reframe our minds. So maybe today you need to take a few moments and think back and, God, you know what? You have brought me through some things. God, you have kept me safe in the midst of storms. God, you have been faithful. Maybe you're in the midst of a storm right now, and that's where you need to start. You need to look back so that you can look forward with faith. You need to be able to say, God, you've been with me before. You're with me now. You'll be with me forever. I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to ask the one who calms the storms to grant peace in your life today. Father, I thank you so much for being the wonderful God that you are. I thank you so much for your word that speaks life over us. So much for your word, Lord, that speaks the promises that are applicable to us right now. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to be with us. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to keep us, help us, and strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to bring us through whatever it is we may be facing. I pray for those today who might even struggle to choke back tears because things are so heavy in their hearts today. I pray in the name of Jesus that as they run to you, Lord, they will exchange those worries, those fears, those anxieties, those question marks, those doubts. They will lay them at your feet today, Lord. They will bring them to you and be honest with what's going on in their hearts and minds. And Lord, with thanksgiving for what you've done and thanksgiving in advance for what you'll continue to do, they'll present those requests to you. And God, that there would be a peace, your peace that passes all understanding, that would guard every heart and mind in you, Christ Jesus. I pray they would experience a great exchange. Worry, fear, and doubt instead for the peace of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that there will be those who recognize today that they can cry if need be and know that you care about what's going on. That they can process through that with you, Lord, and trust you to care and to continue to comfort and to continue to lead. God, we've all been there at some point. We've all had a moment that made us feel very heavy in life, very burdened. And I pray today, oh God, that we will run to you. You're never overwhelmed, Lord. You're never overwhelmed. You're never shaken. Nothing can overtake you. Yet we can lean into you, and you, your peace and your power can work in us and even overtake us. So Lord, we ask for that today. Would you work in every life, every heart, who may be facing something right now? Would you work in all of us, O Lord? Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance the things that have been promised in the Word, and bring to our remembrance the things that God has already done in our lives. Thank you. Father, it is my prayer that you bless and keep this people, and that you make your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. May your countenance, your favor, ever be turned in their direction and grant them your peace, I pray. Keep everyone safe till their storms pass by. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.